Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints happy cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. This one is free, but Andrew, people need to sign up and become a patron, support the podcast. You get all sorts of extra features, including this podcast with no ads ever. You get access to the Discord, you get podcast episodes early, and you get access to our daily podcast where we talk Saints every freaking day. And you let us allow us to pay Thomas in the finest meats and cheeses in Poland so he can run the live stream on YouTube. We need your support to keep it going during the football season. So sign up, become a patron. It's awesome. Andrew, I love this topic today. You came up with this topic a while back, and we sort of save it for the doldrums of June when the Saints don't have any news and minicamp's over, and we just sort of wait for camp to get here. Today, we are doing the top five LSU players that are Saints. So it's all
go Tigers
today. And I got to say, I did some research last night, which is rare for me. Usually you're the one doing the research, right? I went through and found every Saints player that the Saints either drafted out of LSU or played for the Saints from LSU. The list is 38 players. And Andrew, I was thinking, like, the thing is with the Saints is they drafted a ton of LSU players when they were garbage in the 70s and 80s, right, before Mora. And then they haven't drafted a ton of players since they got good with Sean Payton, right? They've only – what? How many players has Sean Payton drafted out of LSU? They drafted
– three, maybe. Al Woods.
Clapp.
Hicks doesn't count. Hicks is Regina College. Hicks never played for LSU.
That's right.
He yeah. got – Hicks, Hicks, got... Hicks doesn't count.
So two. So – The list of Saints players, like coming up with a top five list for the Saints players that went to LSU, it's harder than you think. Like the top's really good, but after like three, it becomes a struggle. And the interesting thing with the Saints is these players is I did not know that they had another Jean Baptiste. You know, we think of Stanley Jean Baptiste. They had an LSU player. Garland Jean Baptiste. He's a running back.
Yeah, I'm disappointed you just brought that up because that was going to be a joke that is now no longer available to me. So thanks for that.
Is there anyone on this list?
Just going to say, I've never heard of this guy. Is he from the 70s?
Yeah, he's from the 70s.
I've never heard of him. I didn't even know he existed until just now. But on principle, his last name is Jean-Baptiste, so I was just going to argue that he's one of the five worst in all-time Saints history, just by, like, osmosis, you know? Like, just by – I don't even know if he's related. I think there's no P in his last name. So the Baptiste doesn't have a P in it. You know, it's just
yeah.
B-A – it's
Baptiste.
Baptiste. So I'm guessing they're unrelated.
If
but,
Garland
but
has
still,
any
close,
family listening to
too
this
close.
Podcast, we apologize. You know – the thing that I also forgot, Jim Taylor, famous Green Bay running back. The John Meekham, when he was like 26, he owned the Saints. He's like, I'm going to get Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor and recreate the Green Bay backfield that won all the championships, but they were all old and fucking broken in for the Saints' first year. Horning never even played played at all for the Saints.
And Jim Taylor, like, it was definitely more, like, exciting that a legend was on the Saints than anything else.
Yeah, he was washed.
He was totally washed.
But there was a couple guys on this list that didn't make my top five that were, like, that I had forgot that were, like, functionally okay. And like Howard Green, he played for the Saints in 2003-2004. He was okay as like a fat run stuff and defensive tackle. He went on to the Jets and did okay. Al Woods, of course, you mentioned him. The Saints draft him. He doesn't make the roster for the Saints and they cut him, and he goes on to have a decent NFL career, which is strange.
Yeah, like you kind of assume when he gets cut that he's going to be he's never going to amount to anything, but he actually ended up having a career.
He had a career. He got a decent contract from Tennessee. Like, he ended up being a decent player. So let's start with guys that just missed your top five. Like, who was your, like, the cuts that didn't make it that you thought about? And maybe he's five, but he just missed the cut.
I mean, the one guy that stands out to me, you know, Brett Besch is just – I don't know that he just missed the cut. I don't know that he belonged in the top five, but like I liked him. He was like a gritty receiver, kind of like an Andy Tanner, you know, but maybe slightly better because he actually played in games and scored occasionally. But he was a miss for me. You know, Eddie Kennison is a guy that was, you know, had a pretty good season for the Saints, and he was a good returner, so he was a near miss for me.
Big touchdown catch on Christmas Eve in 1999 from Jake DeLome.
Yeah, you know, Randall Gay, Delvin Bro.
Randall Gay for me.
Randall Gay and Delvin Bro were good, you know, for the Saints. And honestly, Quan Alexander, like, he only played like six games, but he's like in the conversation. That's how bad LSU and Saints history is, that like Delvin Bro and Quan Alexander are in the mix to be top five.
Yeah, I mean, my hardest leave off, the one that I considered just was Randall Gay, because he's got the Super Bowl smell on him, you know.
So you left him off too?
I left him off too. So that was he was one I was thinking about it. But I think our lists will definitely be different, because you have some deep LSU biases that I have, of course. But you take your LSU biases to a whole other level with the Saints than me. So my number five is a guy that if you like Google the Saints and you do like top five Saints players that went to LSU, he's not on any lists, but he should be. And the reason is I understand it because people that write for Canal Street Chronicles and other Saints books, they're usually younger, and he's hard to find because what happens is a person will be like, oh, I want to do the top five LSU players, and they go to who the Saints drafted. But this guy, Ken Bordelon, he played for the Saints in the 70s. He's my number five. He wasn't drafted by the Saints, and he ended up on the Saints and ended up being a decent linebacker for the Saints. And the interesting thing about him is he went to my high school in New Orleans. He went to Brother Martin, went to LSU, became a Saint, and was actually pretty decent for them. So he was my number five.
My number five is Hokie Gajon. You know, he only really played two seasons for the Saints. I mean, his first season, I think he started four games, and then he got hurt early in his fourth season. So really years two and three were the big seasons for Gajon. But he averaged – you know, the thing about Hokie, he averaged 5.4 yards per carry during his career. And he had 600 yards rushing, five touchdowns, two receiving, so actually seven touchdowns in 1984, which was his best year. Hokie was kind of a tremendous fullback. Great runner, good receiver. He was, you know, it's too bad he got hurt and that kind of ended his career. He blew out his knee, right? And that was it. But he really had two seasons in particular that were phenomenal.
I mean, last thing on Bordelon, I didn't have time to clip it, but he had an interception in that Monday night game where the Saints played the Raiders and were up 35-7 and lost. And he had a pick in the second half, returned it for a touchdown. And, like, the dome is just – like, that's when the Saints were – like, you could feel the dome through the YouTube, like, shaking. And it's like, oh, my God, the Saints are going to beat the Raiders, and they're going to make a push and be a playoff team. And it all fell apart. But, like, for Ken Borderlund, like, he started 82 games for the – he started 31 games for the Saints. But as far as Hokie, he's my number four. Dude, go to YouTube, watch Hokie Gaugeron clips. You can find a game against Dallas, other games. Like, he was good. And he wasn't just good at running the ball. He caught the ball too, Andrew. And like, caught a bunch of passes in the Stone Age – Bum Phillips offense when the Saints had no quarterback. So, like, Hokie was freaking good. You know, we think of him as, like, the fun Saints radio announcer until he passed away, unfortunately. We think of him as that guy and, like, a scout, the one scout for the Saints that told Ditka that trading everything for Ricky Williams was a terrible idea. That's true, too. Like all the – they went around the table to, like, for the scouts and everybody to say there if thought it was a good idea. Every single one of them was like, you go, Mike. And Hokie Gaugeron was like, this is a terrible fucking idea. Don't be trading everything for Ricky Williams. But, like, you look at his stats, Andrew. 1984, when he averaged 6 yards a carry, he caught 35 passes too. Like, that's
is he,
like...
Is he your number four?
He's my number four.
Like, okay, so we flipped. Like, I had Bordelon at four. So, yeah. But I just gave it to Bordelon just because, like, I view Hokie as, like, akin to Chuck Muncy a little bit, or, like, Reuben Mays. We're, like, total flash in the pan. Like, couple good great years. Like, really exciting. Blew out his knee. Done. You know, like, just, like, very short career with the Saints. Whereas, like, Bordelon, like, he was – he played 6 years with the Saints, you know, and he had just longevity, and you know, he was a starter, a really solid starter, and a good linebacker. Yeah. So some of the time, yeah. So yeah, I think you can make arguments why these guys should be four or five, but it sounds like we're kind of on the same page.
Yeah. So my number three is Devery Henderson.
Same.
And the thing with Devery Henderson, Andrew, is he has one of my favorite
Go Tigers
arcs as a Saints player, because most Saints players, they get drafted and we decide whether we like them and we sort of stick that way all the way through. And maybe at the end, we don't like them as much because they're getting old and they frustrate us. He has a tremendous arc as, like, his first year. He didn't play at all. Like, he was inactive every single week. And I remember Buddy D, like, making jokes on his radio show. It's like, all Devery Henderson is good for is he's a rookie and he brings the donuts into the room. Like, maybe he's a complete bust. 2005, he's played a little. And it was still feeling like, that's a really high draft pick. And he's not working out. And he became, like, one of the most beloved Saints figures, I think, of the golden age of Sean Payton. He's not the best, but he really, fans, like, love him, I think, in an interesting way. So I enjoyed his career arc with the Saints.
He was a disaster when he first started. And
disaster.
Yeah, and he was at LSU as a running back for starters. And, you know, a lot of people forget he was the one that caught Bluegrass Miracle.
Jack Hunt joke. It's the running joke, right?
Yep. But he's a running back that switched to receiver. So, like, obviously he was so good and he was so fast. Like, he was good at LSU even despite not really being a receiver. But once he came to the NFL, like, he just wasn't polished at all. He was raw. He didn't know how to run routes. And, like, he had the deep speed, but, like, he couldn't catch. Like, he had terrible hands. He dropped everything.
I remember.
So for a while, like, fans hated him.
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, in 2006, which was his break. Like, 2006, Devery Henderson, 32 catches, 745 yards. He averaged 23.3 a catch. I remember in my WWL column, even as he's having a breakout season, my joke for him was, he's always wide open, but every time Drew throws him the ball, I feel like it's a toddler trying to catch a beach ball. Like, you didn't know if it was going to be an 80-yard touchdown or it was going to clang off his helmet, you know? Yeah.
He averaged, in his career with the Saints, he averaged almost 18 yards a catch, which is insane.
He was even better in 2008. He caught 32, and he averaged 24.8. Almost 800 yards.
He had 800 yards in 2009 too. So yeah, I mean he was a playmaker, man, big time playmaker. But I think the thing I appreciate the most, and so like just real quick coming back to the previous thing I was saying, besides Mark Ingram, he's really the only guy I can think of that was hated by fans and completely changed everyone's mind. Like from the start of his career to the end, the general feeling about him as a player had completely transformed amongst Saints fans. And that's really rare to do, because most of the time, like Andres Pete, like once we decide we hate you, you know, Jairus Byrd, like Jason David, like there's no turning back. But he changed everyone's mind. And like you said, the arc of his career is really interesting in the sense that dude worked his ass off. Like I felt like every offseason, Devery Henderson came back and he could run a new route, or his hands got better, or he got better as a blocker. Like he was just like every offseason he was working on his game, and he would come back and he would just be a different player. And like I just remember at 22 years old as a rookie, he was like a thoroughbred speed guy that didn't know how to play football. And then by 2007, 2006, like he had kind of fixed his catching problems. And so he was now a deep threat that could really hurt a defense and make big, exciting plays. And then by the end of his career, when he was 30 years old, he wasn't as fast anymore. You saw he like put on a little bit of weight. He wasn't quite as much of a field stretcher, but he had reliable hands, good route runner. He'd move the chains, tremendous blocker. So like as he got older, there was still a place for him in the league because he had polished off and really rounded out his game. So I just viewed Devery Henderson as like a tremendous hard worker that was very different. Like that was how he was able to carve out, you know, a 9-year career, because he was very different on the way out than he started on the way in.
Yeah, and he became a guy that could play all the wide receiver positions if the Saints needed him to when people got hurt. And he's a second round pick that got the second contract, right? Like the Saints, I think they gave him like 4 years, $18 million or $16 million. So like he's sort of everything you want in a second round pick. Now, granted, maybe you want, when you draft a guy in the second round, you're like, oh, I hope he goes to the Hall of Fame and he's a Pro Bowler and he's this and he's Marcus Williams maybe or whatever. But like most of the time, Andrew, like when you pick in the second round, you need to get these guys like Roman Harper, Devery Henderson that are like good, solid player that are like the guts of your team, right? And he was that man, and he was just really good and really fun. And he's one of my favorite Saints, just because, like I said, the arc of his career is so fun. And he caught a Hail Mary against Atlanta, right? Which is just amazing. So. Andrew, my number two is Dalton Hilliard. Did you know he's the highest drafted Saint from LSU ever?
I didn't know that.
They picked him number 31 in 1986. The Saints in 1986, they picked Dalton Hilliard, Reuben Mays, and Barry Word. All would gain 1,000 yards in the NFL. They drafted all three of them in the same draft, which is just incredible.
Wait, say that again.
They drafted Dalton Hilliard, Reuben Mays, and Barry Word. They all ran for 1,000 yards in the NFL. Barry Word did it for Kansas City, but
I don't know that I appreciated they all three of them were in the same class. That's wild.
You work hard and play hard, so treat yourself and stock up for summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. For classic steak cuts to USDA Prime to American Style Kobe, hard to find specialty cuts and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. They make it so easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash frozen and delivered directly to your home. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with your family while enjoying steakhouse quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon, Kansas City strips, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your house this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to kansascitysteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with the code SD at checkout. That's kansascitysteaks.com, code SD, kansascitysteaks.com, code SD. Ralph Marlboro here from Saints Happy Hour. You need to join us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room app. We are talking Saints or anything New Orleans sports related. On Spotify Green Room, you can interact with us by asking questions or just laugh at me mispronouncing names. Download the Spotify Green Room on your iPhone or Android device, then follow Saints Happy Hour so you can join us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. to talk Saints or anything else NOLA sports related. So do it. Download the Spotify Green Room app and join us every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you there. Dalton Hilliard was so... He has an interesting arc too, Andrew. It's like he was even good like when his body was shot. Like if you look at his last year with the Saints, he's still catching like 40, 50 balls. Like he had an amazing career with the Saints.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I put him number two as well, so it sounds
like
our list is
almost
exactly
the same. Oh, wow, you did. I thought you'd put him number one.
No, and, you know, if I was going with my heart, you know, Dalton Hilliard's my favorite of all time. But his year in 1989 especially, 18 touchdowns, which led the NFL, 13 rushing, 5 receiving. He was just an all-around running back, really before all-around running backs existed. You know, like now you see it all the time. You got your Kamaras, your Ecklers, your, you know, just all these running backs. Le'Veon Bell, Kareem Hunt, I mean, McCaffrey. There's like all of them do this now, where that not only can they run for 1,000 yards, but they can catch 80 passes and, you know, they run good routes and they have good hands. But like that didn't really exist back then. It was either like you're a good runner or you're a good blocker, or if you can catch and run routes, you're a receiver. Like that's how football was back in the 80s and early 90s. And so Dalton Hilliard was a little unique in the sense that the Saints could throw him the ball all the time and he could make plays out of the backfield. And he wasn't the fastest, but he had great leg power. So he was shifty and he was able to keep his balance. So he had a little bit of Pierre Thomas in him. You know, those guys are similar players. Dalton Hilliard was also a tremendous thrower.
That's right. I was going to get to that, dude.
Yeah, he had a great arm, and so I think he threw like maybe 5 touchdown passes in his career.
He
but so like
threw
he,
four,
they would run the halfback pass with him.
He threw 4 touchdowns with the Saints.
4. Okay.
86. So, 4 straight years.
Yeah. So you know he was known, like they would call him the triple threat. Because he could catch, he could run, and he could throw. And so every time he touched the ball, it was like, I mean, back then, I know since then we've gotten some electric players, Reggie Bush, Alvin Kamara, like, but back then, I would say Dalton Hilliard was really the first the Saints ever had that was electric on that level. Like they had George Rogers. I mean, they had some tremendous running backs, but Hilliard was the first that was kind of like electric, and he had league-wide acclaim because he led the league in touchdowns in 89 with 18 touchdowns. So like he was getting some national notoriety.
Thing is with Dalton Hilliard is I love him, not quite as much as you, but I'll say this about him is I 100% believe his injury in 1990 really was one of the when you list all the factors of why Jim Mora and that great team never made a playoff, never won a playoff game, never went deep in the playoffs, I 100% believe Dalton Hilliard getting injured is a huge part of that. Because if you would have had 1989 Dalton Hilliard, if you would have had that for 89, 90, 91, 92, say you got like 4 years of, maybe not 1,200 yards and 50 catches, right? But if you would have had Dalton getting you 800 to 1,000 yards and catching 40 balls all like for a 4-year run, kind of like Kamara has with the Saints, they'd have won a playoff game. I 100% believe
that. Yeah, I'm with you. He did have a nice touchdown run against the Falcons from the goal line in the playoffs, which was special. But you know, Dalton Hilliard, like, first of all, not a lot of fans know this, but the rumor out there is that Hudat started with him. The Hudat chant actually was something that was in Patterson High School, where he went to high school, and it followed him to LSU, and then it followed him to the Saints. And yeah. So like Dalton Hilliard is kind of the originator of the Hudat chant, so the legend goes. But, dude, you know, the thing about Hilliard too, man, like, it was at a time where, like, I was just starting to watch football, and I was watching LSU, and I liked them, and I liked the Saints. And for him to get drafted and go from LSU to the Saints, like, it was like worlds colliding for me. And it was just the most exciting thing ever. And then he was so damn good. You know, it was just like, that was kind of the glue that stuck me to, like, becoming a diehard football
fan.
Same,
because people forget, man, like, they had – LSU had the Dalton James game was their running back tandem, and LSU, they had Bill Arnsparger back then. LSU was winning again after a little bit of a lull with Stovall and the end of Charlie Mack. LSU was winning again, so it's like basically you took LSU star player and you brought him to the Saints, which is a unique thing which hasn't happened. The one thing I will say is, my God, 1989, he had 344 carries, Andrew, and he caught 52 balls, man. That's 400 touches. In our analytics world, we know that if you go over 300 touches or rushes, whatever, like, it's a death sentence. Like, and
like,
it shows with him.
Happen,
like,
you mean?
What's that?
You mean injury waiting to happen?
Yeah. And you can see it. Like, he never, after running the ball 344 times in 1989, he never ran the ball more than 115 times the rest of his career. And he only broke 90 one time. That was in 1992 when the Saints had all sorts of running back issues with injuries and just guys stinking. But he was amazing for the Saints. He's one of the fan favorites. And this is the interesting thing is, the Saints, like, the number one guy is Eric. For me, it's Eric Martin. And it's just crazy that, like, the Saints have this doldrums of, like, they don't have a great top five of LSU players, right? We mentioned it. But, like, three of our top five, they all are in the 1983-89 time. It's Hokie, Eric Martin, and Dalton Hilliard. And the Saints, they finally get to be competent as an NFL team. They finally start winning, and their best running back and their best receiver are from LSU, and their quarterback's from Cutoff. Like that, people now don't appreciate, like, how crazy and beloved that made that Saints team. Because not only were the Saints finally winning, they were winning with Louisiana kids. So it's just amazing. And Eric Martin, we'll get to him. He was an amazing receiver in a different time, almost, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, last thing on Hilliard, he's my favorite all-time Saints player. And believe it or not, well, it's probably pretty believable, but I play softball, and my number's 21, and it's a tribute to Dalton Hilliard. So there you go. Eric Martin, man, what more can you say? Like, so when I was a kid, you know, history was bad, obviously, but, like, the best receiver of all time in Saints history was probably Danny Abramowitz, you know, and I never watched him, obviously, because he was in the 60s, but he did coach for the Saints. You know, it's anyone who watched the Saints before my time, you know, my elders would tell me, you know, Danny Abramowitz, that was it. And Eric Martin just came in and absolutely obliterated every Saints receiving record that existed. Now, since then, we've had Joe Horn, we've had Marcus Colston, we've had Michael Thomas. So, like, there's been other receivers that obviously are much more electric and have since kind of passed all the records that Eric Martin had set. But at the time, you know, it wasn't even a question. You know, it was like comparing LeBron to, I don't know, like, who's the best Cleveland Cavalier in history after LeBron?
I have no idea.
Right,
Brad
exactly.
Doherty?
Yeah, so exactly. So it was like comparing LeBron to Brad Doherty. That was what Eric Martin meant to the Saints as a receiver. You know, he would get 1,000 yards, felt like, every year. You know, he was always kind of in that 60 to 80 catch radius, which at the time, you know, guys weren't catching 100 balls back then. If you caught 70 balls for 1,000 yards, that was a monster season, you know. And Eric Martin was slow. He wasn't necessarily the biggest, but he had the best set of hands. I mean, you know, since then I would say Lance Moore, Michael Thomas, you know, obviously are tremendous receivers, but man, that guy caught everything.
And here's the thing.
I mean, he almost made Bobby Hebert look good
at times. He did. And here's the thing with Eric Martin is the NFL, I'm not going to be like back in my day, football is better. Because the rules now for the NFL, it's better, it's safer. We don't want guys getting concussions and all that. And it makes the quarterbacks be able to play longer and that sort of thing. But Eric Martin made his living over the middle, where nowadays, younger fans, you watch and they can't touch you. Dude, back in Eric Martin's day, when it was 3rd and 7 and you ran a slant, teams would decapitate you. And maybe you get a penalty every so often, but most of the time, it wasn't a penalty. And that's where Eric Martin like made his living, going over the middle against Ronnie Lott and those type players, where teams could light up receivers. I mean, they used to have videos that the NFL, I would buy them. I forgot what they called it, like big hits or something. I have them on old VHS tapes. And it's just 30 minutes of safeties destroying receivers set to classical music.
Yeah, but you know, like a lot of them didn't want to hit Martin because he was so big and he was so powerful that like he wasn't afraid, but also it was like the guys that hit him a lot of times, like they'd be hurting themselves, you know, when they drilled him. So, but yeah, I think he's like 59 years old now, so I'm surprised that we haven't heard, like, I wouldn't be surprised. The way he played football, man, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he had some issues just with, you know, CTE and all that, just because he played violently.
And he stayed, the thing with him, too, is he, everyone knew when it was like 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 5. Everyone.
Hebert was going to Eric Martin.
He was going to Eric Martin. It was either going to be an out or a slant. And most of the time,
he was going to catch it. You know?
He was going to catch it, and they were going to convert it, and the Saints are going to win the game. We think of Carl Smith as this terrible offensive coordinator, and maybe he was, and the Saints' offense wasn't really progressive. But they won a lot of games, and they won a lot of games because Eric Martin made a lot of big plays. The interesting thing with Eric Martin, Andrew, is starting in 87, he was really consistent. 778 yards, 1,083 yards, 1,090 yards, 912, 800, 1,041, 950. Even with his last year with the Saints when he was 32, he had 66 catches for 950 yards in 93. Like, he was amazingly just consistent as a guy. And
I mean, to this day, he's second in team history in catches. Now, you know, Michael Thomas is going to catch him here, but he's second to Colston in catches. He's second to Colston in yards. And he's still ahead of Joe Horn in terms of yards and catches. Touchdowns, he's further down the list. He's number 4 behind Colston, Jimmy Graham, and Joe Horn. You know, I mean, statistically, he's still up there. Like, you know, Colston has broken all of his records, but he's ahead of Horn in most categories, and he's still ahead of Michael Thomas for now. But like, you know, Eric Martin, I think still has a legitimate claim. Like, let's say Michael Thomas was traded this offseason, I still think Eric Martin has a claim to being the second best receiver in Saints history.
No,
I still put Horn ahead of him just because Horn, like, maybe he didn't have the consistency, but like Horn at his peak was better than Eric Martin at his peak. So I would still put Horn above them, and I would actually put Michael Thomas above Horn already, even though he doesn't have the numbers yet. Like, he's done enough in single seasons, I think, to bypass those two. So I would probably say that Eric Martin is the 4th best receiver in Saints history at this point, but he's in the discussion for number 2.
I mean, he was tremendous, and I think it's strange, Andrew. I have nostalgia for those old Saints teams. Like, I love I even like Mora, and I'm more forgiving of Carl Smith than other people, and Eric Martin and Dalton here. I love them all except for Hebert. The further we get away from Hebert, the more I hate him and blame him for everything that happened bad in the playoffs.
Well, so if you were going to go top five guys from Louisiana, like just saying from Louisiana, I would, you know, obviously Willie Rofe would be number one.
Yeah. Right?
And then you've got, you mentioned Martin, you mentioned Hilliard, but does Hebert kind of leapfrog like Henderson, Bordelon, Gajon for you, like those guys?
Yeah, he probably does. Just because he played long. I mean, the thing is with Hebert's stats is his stats aren't even good when you compare him to quarterbacks of the day. Like, it's just like he was the quarterback that was there when the Saints won all those games. And what did he do to help them win the game? I don't really know. He was there. Like, so it's tough. The interesting thing with also in the 50 plus years the Saints have had a team, they've never picked an LSU guy in the first round. Willie Rofe is the highest Louisiana player they've ever picked at 8.
Yeah, that's wild. That is wild.
So, you know, we may do patrons if you want us to do another countdown of like a themed countdown, let us know the topic. Maybe we'll do it. This LSU one wasn't that hard to gather the list of players. The final thought for me, Andrew, is they had a guy on this list. I couldn't put him on the top five, but in my LSU fandom, Greg Jackson, the safety for LSU.
Oh, yeah.
He was All-American safety at LSU. He played for the Saints for 1 year. As a kid, I freaking loved that dude. Like, irrational. Like, if somebody would get me a Greg Jackson LSU jersey, I'd wear it on the podcast all the time. Like, so, I forgot.
You heard it, patrons. Make it happen. Send Ralph a Greg Jackson jersey.
I had forgotten Tommy Hodson played on the Saints, too.
Yeah, he was. God, he was bad.
The only thing he ever did, he dropped the snap and completed a 2-point play.
Yeah, I remember that. That was exciting. But I just remember in preseason thinking, man, I really hope Tommy Hodson never plays because he is exceptionally bad.
He was so good at LSU, though.
He was so bad for the Patriots. My God, yeah. I mean, he was part of that 1-15 team with the Patriots. I don't know if you remember that.
Like Bill Simmons just savages him when he talks about the old Patriots being terrible.
Oh, really?
He just savages Tommy Hodson. I'm like, shut up, Bill Simmons. You don't know. When he was at LSU,
go Tigers.
He was amazing. But anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. Support the show. We're the best Saints podcast on freaking earth. But we need your support to keep it going. So for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Thanks for joining us. We will see you again tomorrow.
Go Tigers.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.